What if you could travel in time? What if you had your own personal DeLorean, right? And you could hop in and plug in the coordinates. You could go anywhere, anytime you wanted. What if you had your own personal TARDIS? You could travel in time and go anywhere you'd like to go. Where would you go? When would you go? There's a man who's writing books for children about American history. And he has a time-traveling horse that is a part of his storyline, but this time-traveling horse can only travel back into American history. And so that's the limited scope of that time-traveling horse, is going back sometime in American history. Where would you go in American history if you could go one place? This morning, here's what I'm going to ask you. What if you could travel in time, but you were confined to only being able to travel back to the lifetime of Jesus? What one event in the life of Jesus would you like to go back and see? What one event would you like to go back and personally witness yourself? Would you have liked to have seen Jesus as he fed those 5,000 men, plus women and children, with just 5 loaves of bread, pieces of bread, and 2 fish? Would you have liked to have seen that happen? As all of that is being divided out, and they take up 12 baskets of leftovers. If you could see one event, would that be the event you'd like to see? Would you like to go back and see Jesus walking on the water? If you could just see one event in the life of Jesus, would that be it? What about when he was in that little city of Galilee named Nain? And there was, and coming out of the city was this funeral procession, with a widow and now a mother without a child. And she's leading this procession, and there they are carrying that casket. Wouldn't you like to see Jesus touch that casket, touch what they're carrying, and raise that boy from the dead and give that boy back to his mother? If you could see one event in the life of Jesus, which one would it be? So many to choose from. Would you like to go see the empty tomb? Would you like to peer inside yourself and see that tomb as it was emptied? Jesus was no longer there. So many great things that we could see. So many great events that impact the world. The birth of Jesus impacts the world. The resurrection of Jesus impacts the world. There were certain events that impacted a multitude of people, the feeding of the 5,000. There are certain events that just impacted maybe one person, when that woman touched the hem of his garment. But we look at those and we say, well, those didn't really impact me personally all that much, any more than just I'm one of all of the world for which he did it. This morning I suggest to you there is one event in the life of Jesus that if we only had one place we could go, it's the place we would need to go. Because there's one event in the life of Jesus where it's not just for one or two people, not just for the multitudes, not just for the whole world. There's one event in the life of Jesus that was for you. There's one event in the life of Jesus that was for me. You and I, if we could go back to one time in the life of Jesus, we would need to go back and to stand at his cross, to see him hanging on that tree. The Bible says that Jesus died for the sins of the world. The Bible says even at his birth that he would save his people from their sins. The Bible says that he took upon himself the sins of all of mankind when he was there on the cross. And we could paint it with that broad brush and say it was for everybody. Or we could use the verse that's on the screen this morning from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And we could recognize that when we look at his cross and when we stand at his cross, that he laid down his life for me. Do you believe that? Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus gave his life for you? It'll change your life. It'll change your life if you will go back to the cross. So this morning, I want us to think about, what do we find when we go? If we could time travel, if we could get in our TARDIS and our DeLorean, if we could get on our horse, if we could get on whatever the mechanism would be, that we could go back to that one event, what would we find? This morning, I think what we would find is we would find the one who sacrificed, not just for the world. We need to make this personal this morning, because there's something very personal about the cross. And it needs to be personal to each and every one of us. When we go back to the cross, we're going to find the one who sacrificed for me. And that's what Galatians 2:20 is all about. That's what it says, is that Jesus gave Himself up for me. You know, when He came to this world, Philippians chapter 2 says He emptied Himself. He came to this world, and there's a sense in which He emptied Himself when He came to this world. But there is a greater sense when He went to that cross that He had nothing left to give but Himself. And everything that He had left to give, He gave it up for us. 1 John 3 and verse 16, He laid down His life for us, and He became that sacrificial lamb. Not like one of those lambs of the Old Testament, but as the only Lamb of God who could take away our sins. Aren't you glad that when we look and we stand at the cross, that we see the man who made the greatest sacrifice for me? Made the greatest sacrifice for you. It's because of me that He was there. It's for me that He was there. But it's not just the one who sacrificed for me. When I go back to the cross, I see the one who suffered for me. We don't have a concept today about crucifixion. We read about it. We see images that people have drawn perhaps of it, but we don't have the concept of what was transpiring when someone was nailed to a cross. In Acts, twice in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 10, the Bible describes it as Jesus hanging on a tree. Not some polished piece of metal, not some what we would think of as a cross today, not some smooth piece of wood like some kind of a 4x4 that's gone through the mill and it's nice and smooth and everything is nice. No, He's hanging on a tree. And as he was brought there to Golgotha, the Bible says that He had nails. You heard it read from Psalm 22 this morning. He had nails pierced through His hands and through His feet. And those aren't the nice nails that you're going to go down to the hardware store and find today. Those were large spikes that were heavy duty enough to suspend a body for hours and hours and hours and hours so that that body would not fall off. Jesus was nailed to that cross for me. He suffered for me. He's there on that cross wearing still the crown of thorns that those soldiers had plaited together and mashed upon His head. And He's still wearing it. Still wearing it for me. He has blood coming down from all over His face. He has dried blood all over His body. He's there suffering every bit of this cross for me. The hours that were leading up to that crucifixion. In Matthew chapter 27, and in Matthew chapter 26, in John chapter 19, Bible says, and we read about how Jesus' body, Bible just uses the word scourged, and again, we don't have the concept. But when Jesus is hanging on that tree, His body had already been torn to shreds. Those Roman soldiers did not know any mercy with that whip that they had in their hand. And so as He's hanging on that tree, unable to breathe, and as carbon dioxide is building up in His lungs, and as His lacerated back is moving, trying to move up and down on that tree behind Him, there He is suspended between heaven and earth for me. Why for me? I understand he's there for the world, but he's suffering all of that for me. And finally, in John chapter 19, one of the things that Jesus said, I thirst. And we read through that like it's just two words. We don't think much about it. But when was the last time he had something to drink? When was the last time he had something to eat? You think those Romans offered him a breakfast, a continental breakfast, before he went out to Golgotha? You think they asked him, is there anything you would like before you go to your death? You think they are like today, where we show mercy to those who are about ready to be put to death? The Romans knew no mercy. When was the last time that he had a sip of anything? He goes through all of that because of me. He suffered all of that for me. And that's the physical side of it. In addition to that, when I come to the cross, I find somebody who's not just suffering physically. I find somebody who is suffering emotionally, who has been shamed for me. It's not just that physical trauma of all that he endures. It's the emotional, it's the spiritual, it's the personal side of it. Because when you are nailed to a cross, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The Son of God became a curse for me. He took the curse that should have been mine. He became a curse for me. Suffering the shame of the cross. What did he ever do to deserve that shame? I know that Hebrews chapter 12 says that he looked at that shame, and for joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising that shame. He didn't care about it, but he still took it for me. The Bible says that as he is hanging there, as he is suffering from that pain and from that shame that was all his, the shame that belonged unto me. Think about as he is there and what he endures. Not because of anything he had done. Name one thing that Jesus did that he deserved. What's transpiring as he is shamed on that cross. The Bible says that those soldiers took his clothes. They took his garments. Some historians would even say that those who were crucified had no clothes left on their body at all. And he's doing that for me. They take his clothes and they begin to gamble for them and to act like it's just fun and games. And up above his head, you remember what was nailed up above his head? That's where they put the crime. Here's what he was charged with. What is it that he's charged with? Here is a death that is reserved for the worst of criminals and for the lousiest of slaves. What is Jesus being charged with? This is the King of the Jews. That's why he got nailed to the cross. He was considered a criminal. He was considered a criminal for you and me. He's crucified right in between two robbers. What does that tell you about what they thought about him? What they considered him to be? No better. No better than the worst of criminals. And as he's hanging there, the Bible says that there were people that, the Bible just calls them passers-by. Bible says there were people that were just passing by, going in or out of the city. They're passing by Golgotha. And the Bible says that they're looking at the cross. And as they looked at the cross, the Bible says they blasphemed Jesus. Can you imagine the gall that somebody would have to see Jesus hanging on a cross, and instead of having pity for him, to blaspheme him and to say, hey, you, the one who said you would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, come down and save yourself. Not just those passers-by, the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders. The Bible uses the word sneered. Does that paint a picture for you? They sneered at him, saying, he saved others, let's see if he can save himself. And so as these passers-by were doing it, as these religious leaders were doing it, the soldiers who were there, they joined in the chorus. They thought, hey, this is a great game. Everybody else is doing it. Let's just join in. The sign up above his cross says, he's the king of the Jews. Great. If you're the king of the Jews, they said, come down from the cross and save yourself. Roman soldiers didn't know any better. They didn't know what this was all about. They just wanted to join in the fun that everybody else was having. Passersby, religious leaders and all of their gall, the soldiers there, but not to be left out. A man hanging on his right, a man hanging on his left. Both of them, initially. Both of them, the Bible uses the word reviled, insulted him, and said, he claims to be the Son of God. Let's see if God will have him now. He suffered the shame of that cross, being spit upon, not for himself, and not just for the world. He did it for me. He did it because of me. He did it for you because of you. When we go to the cross, we find the one who sacrificed for me, suffered for me, was shamed for me. We go to the cross and we find the one who was there hanging there separated for me. And to me, this is the worst of all of them. There's the physical trauma of what he endured. There's the emotional trauma of what he endured. But then there's the spiritual trauma of what he endured. Jesus was on that cross for 6 long hours. From 9 until the morning, till 3 in the afternoon. And the Bible says that from noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when it should have been the very brightest, and the sun shining the very brightest, there was darkness over the face of the earth. And then in the 9th hour, 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he said, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus knew the answer to that question. That question is from Psalm 22. He knew Psalm 22. He knew the answer to that question. You and I know the answer to that question. But the very fact that Jesus knew what had transpired, that God had forsaken him. And we look at that and we say, I know why. Reason is that the sins of the world were placed upon Jesus. In Isaiah 59, the Bible says that our sins separate us from God. And so because of the sins of the world, Jesus was separated from God. All of that's true. But it gets much more personal than that. Because it's not just the sins of everybody else that separated him from God. It's my sins. It's what I did yesterday. What I will do today, what I will do tomorrow, it's against the will of God. It caused my Savior to be separated from His God. When I go to the cross, I can't help but take it personally. I can't help but go back there and say, that's my fault. He's there because of me. He's there for me. Separated for me. He stayed there for me. We know he told the disciples that he could call more than 12 legions of angels at any time. He's there for 6 hours, and at any moment he could have said, God, you know, tap out. I'm done, God. You know, I tried as my best. I thought I could make it through, but this is just a little more. God, I think I'm done. The world isn't worth it. He could have at any moment said, I'm done. But he waited until the very end and then was able to say, I'm not done, but to say, it is finished. He stayed on that cross, not to show how good he was, not to show how tough he was. He stayed on that cross for me. He stayed on that cross for you. And He did all of that. He did all of that in order that He might help me to understand what I mean to Him. He stayed there, and then the final thing that He did was to surrender His all. In the very last breath of His life, He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit." And He surrendered. He yielded up His spirit. He gave all that He had left to give. And He gave it for me. If we could go back to one event in the life of Jesus, there's a whole lot that would be wonderful to see. But there's nothing that impacts me personally more than to go and to stand at the cross and to see the One who saved me. That's why He was there. He's there to save you and me. Twice He talked about it. Remember what He said? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was interested in saving people. He said to that one robber that finally changed his heart, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus was there to save not just those people. He was there to save me. But it was not His words that saved me. It's not His actions that saved me. It was the blood that He shed there that saves me. It's not just that Jesus died for us that saves us. It is the fact that the death that He died was a death that required His blood to be shed, so that that blood could wash away our sins. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 says, "Without the shedding of blood there is no remission." What if Jesus had died but He had not shed any blood? There would not be any remission of sins. Jesus went to that cross and suffered it all so that I could be saved. He paid my sin debt. The debt that I needed to pay, He paid it. He became my sin offering. The offering that I needed to make, He made it in my place. And as my Savior, in taking care of my sins, He took upon Himself my sin punishment. Jesus went to that cross, not just to save everybody else's sins. He went to that cross to save my sins. I cannot help but think, and I thought about it all through preparation of this lesson, the verse of that song that says, "My sin." And then this parenthetical thought. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. And the idea there is, I can't even think about how grand this thought is. My sin, not in part, but the whole, not some of it, but all of it, is nailed to His cross. He bore it so that I don't have to bear it anymore. I bear it no more. How can I not help but say, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, that my sins have been taken away from me, because at His cross, Jesus sacrificed for me, suffered for me. He took on the shame of the cross for me. He was separated for me. There He was staying on that cross for me, surrendering for me so that He could save me." There's no better place for us to go than to be right there at His cross. You may have guessed that the theme for our congregation for 2017 is "At His Cross." What better place for us to go? What better place for us in these next 365 days to focus our attention than on the cross of Jesus? To focus back on that one event that should change us and should be the focal point of all that we do. And as we have done for all of these years, we've been having these annual themes each month. Each month there will be a different theme, that sub-theme that helps us to emphasize what we find at His cross. We've talked this morning about what we find, who we find at the cross. But in January this month, at His cross, I find vision. We'll talk about Mission Sunday this month. We need to have a vision for the lost world. In February, here's the grandest thing that I find at His cross. I find love. In March, I find grace. First week of March, March 5th through the 8th, Dan Winkler is going to be back again, thankfully. Another gospel meeting with Dan Winkler, one of the greatest preachers in all of the brotherhood. And the theme for his gospel meeting is the embrace of His grace. He's going to help us to focus on what we find at His cross. In April, I find motivation. Our Ladies' Day is always in April. And Rose Creighton will be here on that third Thursday of April again. Focus on our Ladies' Day. In May, I find family. When I go to His cross, here's what I find. I find my family. I find the church. In May, we have our evangelism training for youth. And John David Schwartz, who has not been here, but some of our youth have heard him in other places, will be here. In June, I find... what do I find? I forgot June. Purpose. I find purpose. What's the purpose of my life? There's a lot of people trying to figure out what's the purpose of their life. Guess where you find it? I find my purpose at the cross. And in June, as we always do that third week, we will be having our Vacation Bible School. I know a time that our young people look forward to, and we'll have our leadership training camp before that. You go to July when we have things like we're going to have our Promotion Sunday in July this year in our Central Florida Bible Camp. It's always in July, but I find peace when I go to the cross. In August, I find belonging. In August, we go back to school. Sometimes when children go back to school, they're trying to find a place of belonging. Guess where you find a place of belonging? At His cross. That's where I belong. I belong to Him. One thing we're going to do in August, I think it's the first Sunday of August, we're going to have a back-to-school ice cream social. That is something I can get behind, okay? So now here's it. We're going to talk more about it as we get closer, but it's not just an ice cream social. We want those of you who have those homemade ice cream machines to get them out of the mothballs and get them ready for August, because that, please clean them out now from all of the mothballs. But we want some homemade ice cream. You know, I can find belonging in homemade ice cream, can't you? I mean, that's a perfect theme for August. In September, I find hope. And on September 10th, the second Sunday of September, Kirk Brothers from Freed Hardeman's going to be here for a one day. Just a super Sunday. Great time with that. In October, I find truth. We always have our spiritual enrichment weekend during October. In November, I find revival. And that first weekend in November will be our lectureship, November 2nd through the 5th, I believe it is. And the theme for our lectureship this year is Revive Us Again. And then the final month, I find victory. We're going to focus on the cross this year. We focus on the cross all the time. But we're going to have a concerted effort this year to say, let's go back to the cross. Let's stand at His cross. And let's be those individuals who would come back to His cross, focus on it, and recognize that that's where I need to live. I don't need to go anywhere else. That's where I need to kneel at His cross. That's where I need to serve at His cross. That's where I need to do everything, is to focus on what Jesus did for me. And to not allow anything to become more important to me than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That passage read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. Paul says, when I came there, I determined not to know anything else among you. Here's the most important thing. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This year, let's determine together that we will stand at the cross. We'll stand there together, arm in arm, hand in hand, helping each other to focus on the most monumental event that's ever happened in the face of this earth. This is going to be a great year. A lot of great things are in store for us this year. As you leave this morning, and ushers, you can uncover those tables out there. You can unveil all the goodies that are on those tables. As you leave this morning, there are a lot of good, there's a lot of great stuff out there. There are some calendars for the year. These little booklets are in the plastic bins on this side of the tables. This has everything that we know that's going on this year is already on the calendar. And so here's your 12-month calendar. It has all of these monthly themes in it. And has all of the events for the year. There'll be more things added as we go through the year, but you can start marking your calendar now. Say, here's what's coming up this year. One of the great things that we have this year is that 5 o'clock class that's starting today on fortifying your faith. It's going to be one of the greatest classes we've had in a long time, and we encourage all of you to be here for that. It's going to be over in the family room. We'll have our regular worship at 6 o'clock. The worship on Sunday nights is going to be shortened. Realization that we're having an extra class now, and so the worship will be shortened a bit. But be here at 5 o'clock for fortifying your faith. And then this year on Fifth Sundays, we're going to have one Fifth Sunday singing, which we've been having. It'll be this in January. But the other Fifth Sundays, we're going to do something different. I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do on those nights, but we've got something really cool lined up for the other three Fifth Sundays throughout the year. But after... Here's what's going to happen after our worship on Fifth Sundays. We got four Fifth Sundays this year. After our evening services, we're going to have some, we're just going to call them cook-offs. All right? It's not to the extent that, like, if you missed last night, you missed some serious chili. All right? We had a chili cook-off here last night. Some of us are still feeling the effects of all of the chili that we ate last night. Okay? It was monumental. All right, I will not tell you the joke that one of our elders made when he stood up. It was interesting. But anyway, we had a great time last night, and it was a serious cook-off. Now, we're not gonna go all out like that, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to pick a theme. Maybe we should just call it themed potluck, but that doesn't sound nearly as neat as a cook-off. So it's just going to be kind of a themed potluck, but we're going to have a specialty dish that if you want to make one, we're going to ask you to bring it. So here's the one for January. I'm going to tell you the one for January. January 29th, Fifth Sunday night after our evening service, breakfast casseroles. All right? Bring your best breakfast. You're ready now, aren't you? Bring your best breakfast casserole. Be over in the family room. And we've got some other ones even better than that lined up. Hard to imagine what's better than breakfast casserole. But if you don't like that, then bring something else. Bring a vegetable tray if you have to have a vegetable tray. But we'll have some other finger foods too. But it's going to be, those are going to be fun. It's going to be fun talking about things that are going to be happening this year. Now, what else is out in the lobby? Out in the lobby on the first table when you come in, on the welcome display, on the back side of it is something new for kids. It's called My Worship Notes. And what it is just a single page thing that children can use to follow along with the worship service, to pay attention, to participate in the worship service. This is, I don't know, this has got a specific age. Probably not for high schoolers, all right? Probably not for junior high, but at least for fifth grade and under. Here is something that they can take, bring in. They will always be on the corners of that welcome display table. When you come in, just pick one up. Your kids can pick one up. They can use it for, and they'll be out there. They can use it for each service. This was specially designed by Cam Krotz. I wasn't sure I was going to tell who did it, you know. So, but Cam can get the blame for it. But he did an outstanding job putting this together. Something that Carter has been already using. Carter was kind of the guinea pig. He was the trial on getting all of this worked out. But those are out there for the kids to use. There are Bible reading schedules on these tables as you leave. Today's January 1st. You going to read the Bible this year? Today's a great way to start. There's Bible reading schedules out there that'll take you through the Bible in a year. If you say, I can't make it through it in a year, there's Bible reading schedules out there that'll take you through the Bible in 3 years. Let's start today as a congregation reading the Bible together. Will that help us draw closer to God individually? Help us draw closer to God collectively? It will. Last thing I think that's on those tables, if I remember right, is a daily devotional book. It's called One Word. It's produced and written by a number of preachers. Some of them we have had here, others of them we have not had. But it's designed as a daily devotional book, but there's only 5 per week. So if you get behind, you only got 5 per week. But there's some great writers, great daily devotional, and there's enough out there for you to pick one up and to take home. These aren't for distribution. It's not like take a stack and pass them out at Walmart today. That's not the design of these. These are for us. These are for you to take home and to use as your daily devotion. In couples, you might start with one per couple just to make sure we have enough to go around. But if you come back tonight, you come back next week and there's more out there, then take one if your husband's not going to let you use his copy. But let's use these again to draw closer in studying and reading the Word of God together. I want to make sure I haven't forgotten anything. Got it. Check. All right, last thing. What kind of year would it be if we didn't have a t-shirt to go along with the year, right? Got to have a t-shirt. So here's our t-shirt this year. At His cross on the front. Trey Ingram now runs his own design and t-shirt printing company. And Trey has given us a great price. He's designed this. He's given us a great price on the shirts. $10 for adults, $8 for kids. And just tell us what sizes you need. Take out one of the cards this morning, write your name on it, write what size or sizes you need, and fold it over, put the money in. If you've got the money today, that'd be great. If you don't have the money today, you got 2 weeks to get the money in. But we need all of the money in before we can place the order. But we want to place the order as soon as we can so that we can get the church back. So let us know what size you need. You've seen folks wearing shirts from previous years. We had a great shirt. Cam designed the one last year. I love that shirt. I'm not ashamed. And this is a great shirt for this year. So if you want one, write on a card what you need. Give us the money for it and give it to me or to Cindy in the next couple weeks. And we'll take care of that for you. This is going to be such an outstanding year. It'll only be outstanding if we'll come together. And if we will, at His cross, stand arm in arm and hand in hand. Jesus died on that cross to save you and me. Will you surrender to Him today? He surrendered it all for you. Will you surrender your all to Him? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If you believe that, you have the right to become a child of God, John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 says. And with that right, you need to make up your mind. I want to stop doing wrong and start doing right. Repent, turn away from sin, and turn my life over to God and say, God, I want to do what You want me to do. Confess the faith that's in your heart. And this very day, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. Just like all of those individuals in New Testament times did, in order to become a Christian, they were baptized. And at that very moment, God washed away every sin they ever committed with the blood of Jesus that He shed at that cross. And from this day forward, choose to live your life faithfully for Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Life that I now live in the flesh, it's not for the flesh anymore. Life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Because He loved me. And He gave Himself for me at that cross. We can help you have your sins forgiven, washed away by the blood of Jesus this morning. If you're a child of God, but you've wandered away and strayed away, and you need to come back to the fold today, why don't you respond to the invitation song right this morning as together we stand and sing.